Hello and welcome to One Team in Wales, a podcast by Taff and Daff, where we look back over Glamorgan games in recent history and look forward to the ones upcoming. And it's all coming thick and fast in T20 Blast season. So they will be firing out these episodes now. I'm Blake Bint, and as ever, with me is Alice Hopkins. And what the viewers won't know is that this is the second time we're having to record this because in a state of affairs that don't need any more detail, the podcast this morning that was recorded wasn't recorded, and I was absent because I overslept. But we're here now, and Alid, we've got a lot to get through because last night was absolute chaos, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely was. I think the last couple of, well, the last week or so really has been chaos with all the comings and goings from Glamorgan, with Faruqi leaving and then Jimmy Neesham coming in as well, and then that first game against Somerset, and then of course last night. It's been even though there hasn't been that many games, it's still been a chaotic week.
Yeah, and like I said, we've got a lot to get through, so let's not hesitate. We'll quickly touch on the game last week, as ever. We'll go through the scorecard as we normally do. So, obviously, both these games in the last week have been against Somerset. It's been a while since we last had a podcast. So, Somerset batting first last week, the one in Cardiff, scored 171 for nine. Star of the bowlers there was Nathan McAndrew, 4 for 15 on debut. Mason Crane also took 3 for 42. Got the big wicket, Tom Banton. And then Glamorgan chased it down in emphatic fashion, 13.5 overs for just 3 wickets. Kieran Carlson, 109 from 45 balls. Will Smail also had a good 40. So we'll very briefly touch on that one. Kieran Carlson's knock was star of the show, and he's shown it before against Somerset a couple of years ago, and he did it again, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely sensational. And I had the sort of pleasure really of being in the crowd for that game because I took my dad along for his birthday. And instead of sitting in the media box as we usually do, I was in and amongst it. And I heard people, of all ages around the crowd saying like, "Wow!" And just stunned by some of the shots he was playing. And I heard a few people say, that's the best knock that they've seen at Safai Gardens in T20 cricket or in one day cricket. And it's hard to disagree with that. It was an unbelievable innings from ball one. He saw it like a basketball and needed to as well, because, 171 on a Safai Gardens pitch isn't always it's not an easy task. So they needed to get off to a good start, and Smail as well played really, really well. Kind of got forgotten about a little bit because of Carlson's brilliance, but they got them off to the perfect start, and then it was downhill from there. Well, that's the wrong word. I mean, it was first gear really from there. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, I mean, it was a sensational knock. Some of the shots he plays, I mean, he rode his luck early on. I think 18 of his first 33 runs all came off the edge through deep third and over the keeper. He had a six as well. But I mean, you buy your own luck, don't you? And then from there, he was absolutely faultless, hitting some of the shots into the crowd, which he did. The fast bowlers pitched it up, it hit you over deep mid-wicket. If he bowled it short, he'd kind of flick it off his rib as we've become accustomed to, or kind of slog sweep over deep backward square, or he'd hit you over extra cover as well. So he's just keeps it quite simple, but he just does so with absolutely no fear at all and pure destruction for someone of quite small stature. And bringing up 142 balls, Glamorgan's second fastest ever, it was sensational.
Yeah, and that's what one thing I was going to say is he's obviously not the biggest guy in the world, but the power he generates from some of those shots for somebody of his size is incredible. And at times Somerset had packed the leg side field as is kind of usual in T20 cricket, and he just seemed to find the exact. He just seemed to be able to pinpoint his shots. It almost seemed like if you'd put a target down on the boundary somewhere between sort of, I guess, square leg and mid wicket, he would hit that target. It was pinpoint precision. And when somebody's playing like that, I think you know, the Somerset coach was gutted about it, obviously. But when somebody plays like that in T20 cricket, there's very little you can do. It's just one of those days. And you know, for Kieran, I said to you at the end, how is he not involved in 100? You know, with that potency, and we've seen it throughout his career now, 10 years in the game. We've seen him go through the gears in terms of strike rate, a strike rate of 242 in this game. He's got all the shots. So, you know, surely he's got to be in with a chance of getting 100 gig this summer.
Yeah, that's something I wrote about on Taff and Daff, which you can read as well from earlier this week. And debutant Nathan McAndrew as well, 4 for 15. I mean, I think it was probably what everyone expected. He took 11 wickets in two games against Glamorgan last year, which is quite unprecedented in T20 cricket to take a 6 for and 5 for against the same opposition. And then, yeah, coming in, was injured for the first two games. We now know that he had an ankle problem. He nearly didn't come over at all because of a back problem, and he's playing through injury now. So he's got to play three games in 4 days, but it didn't seem to affect him on debut, Bob, really well.
I was outstanding. Every bit the bowler that I saw last year just run through the Glamorgan order. Really not easy against Somerset, right? They're the reigning champions. Their lineup is loaded with firepower in T20 cricket. You know, you think of Banton, James Rea has been hitting it to all parts. Abel, even Lewis Gregory down at number six, number seven can hit the ball. So really not easy against a lineup like that. And he, yeah, what was it? Fourth, not for 16, I think, or for sorry, 4 for 15. I'm doing him a massive disservice in the wicket front. 4 for 15 on four overs. I mean, in T20 cricket, that is irreplaceable.
Yeah, really good start for him. I suppose we should talk more about the game last night because that was the one we need to go through in more detail. At Taunton, 202 for 6, Somerset put up 50s for Lewis Gregory of 28 balls, Tom Abel 41, Tom Banton again got some runs 39, and then Daniel Sams at the end hit a couple of blows, 24 not out. In the bowling department, Ned Leonard really struggled, 1 for 50 from 3. He was really expensive. A few no balls really cost him. But then on the other side of it, Dan Douthwaite bowled really well, 2 for 35. And Mason Crane really economical as well. On a small ground at Taunton, going for just 24 four overs, that's a runner ball. And he's earned a call up to the England Lions.
Yeah, not gonna brag yet of what my pre-season prediction. He's not quite got to the England senior side yet, but I think he's earned it, right? He's earned this chance to prove what he can do in the Lions. And I think from what we've seen over the last few years with the Kean McCullum regime, as it's called, they really take into account Lions performances, or England A, whatever you want to call it. That seems to hold a lot of weight in terms of who's getting picked. And you know, we've seen Asa Tribe do really well for the Lions. And you know, if Mason can do the same now in this game, I think it's today, isn't it, at Leicester? You know, he really puts his hand up for a call up later in the summer. I think potentially that Pakistan series in late August, early September, when the pitches should be a little bit more spin friendly, we might see him turn out in another test match.
Yeah, hopefully we do. That game is today. So that means Mason Crane and Asa Tribe, who's also gone, will miss these next two games, I believe, the one against Worcester tonight and the one against Lancashire on Sunday. Well, the run chase then, Glamorgan won by 4 wickets. If you haven't seen that already, I'm sure that's not spoilers to anyone. But the fiasco really was the floodlights. Three times they went off in the innings. One before a ball was even faced, one after just two overs, and then again with just four balls left after Douthwaite hit six and then was out the next ball, which you could argue probably disrupted his rhythm. His runs kind of all over. Carlson got off to a really good start again, 29 off 11. Again, just properly destructive. Will Smail had a decent start. Asa Tribe, 48 off 31. Sean Dixon, though, player of the match, 63 from 36. And then at the end, Neesham, who struggled to get going, ended 14 not out of just 10 balls, but he hit the all-important final ball for four. And Dan Douthwaite as well, coming in at the end, 17 off 9. And also credit to Nathan MacAndrew, who faced one ball, got a three, and got Neesham up to the other end to leave the equation 4-1. So contributions all round, and what a run chase it was. I mean, we were both watching, and I mean, just edge of our seat stuff.
Yeah, I came home slightly later. So I think with the delay, by the time I got home, it was pretty much the end of the power play. So I hadn't really seen Kieran Carson or Smale, but they got Glamorgan off to a great start, right? And when you're chasing a total over 200, yes, it's a small ground and it might have been a flat wicket, but anything over 200 is never ever easy. And Carson and Smale did a really good job of setting up in that power play. And then, yeah, Acer Tribe, again, not easy coming into first game of T20 cricket since being away in the SA20 with the Pal Royals. So not easy to just switch formats like that and play a massive innings. Just fell too short of his half century, and really got that run chase going. I think there was a point, sort of 10, 12 overs in where Glamorgan were, I think, over two a ball. I think the required run rate was over 12, and I was sitting there thinking this is done. And maybe that's a testament to me and how much I don't really watch much franchise T20 cricket anymore. I maybe forgot how the 12 and over isn't that much in T20 cricket anymore. I'm sort of used to the old days where that would be almost insurmountable. So maybe that's on me being a bit of a dinosaur in T20 cricket, but I thought this is going to be a classic Glamorgan. They get close, maybe take it to the final over and don't get over the line. And even on that last ball, I'll be honest, I didn't really back Neesham to hit it for four. And when he did, I was more in disbelief, I think, that of that run chase than anything. But what a win! What two amazing games against the reigning champions. It two wins in two completely different ways, and it's changed the trajectory of the tournament for Glamorgan.
Yeah, Tribe just flicked the switch. I mean, he was going at about a run a ball for the majority of his innings. And I mean, that was fine because Dixon was hitting it well at the other end. But then the 17th over was where it all changed. Jake Ball was 1 for 11 off his first two overs. And then he went for 20 in the 17th over and then bowling the last one for 16 as well. And it was that 17th where Tribe took him apart, really. And obviously, Dalf Waite in the last three overs had a couple of decent blows as well, but Sean Dixon against his old club, I'm sure he wouldn't have been able to choose a better opponent to do that against. Again, he's just getting better with time at Glamorgan. I think I have to say I wrote him off pretty early on in the Red Bull season, but he came back well from that and he's started really well in the Blast now.
Yeah, he has. And it, particularly, he's played well against Somerset. The three games that we've played against Somerset this season, he's done really well, right? And Somerset must be kicking themselves for getting rid of him at the moment, because I wrote about sort of Glamorgan being a bogey team for Somerset. I think that's confirmed now with that game last night. And I even saw one of their fans in the co in their comments comment that as well. And I think, I painted Carlson as the bogeyman, but I think it might be Sean Dixon, in all honesty. He's done really well, and rightly so, player of the match last night, 63 off 36 balls at a crucial period as well with Tribe. That partnership was massive, in giving Glamorgan a chance at the end for Douthwaite to come in. And yeah, he's got off to a slow start, didn't he? But he's really grown into his role now. He's batted up and down the order in different spots, and he seems to be really enjoying himself now, and he's showing all of the experience that he's got.
Yeah, 89 that partnership was worth with Tribe. So let's look ahead then, because two games to cover now, Worcestershire and Lancashire. Today is actually a double header, but just because of the time we have, we won't touch on the women's game today, although they are flying, and hopefully we'll do a women's special in the next week or two where we can cover their performances a bit more. Maybe we'll get Srijana on as well. But focusing on the men's game up at New Road today is the second leg of their mini tour. I mean, it's one thing to be on a high, isn't it? But then it's maintaining that high.
Yeah, absolutely. And Glamorgan have been able to kind of do that in the championship. They managed to string together some consistent performances after that that disappointing game at Notts. And I kind of look at this in the same way almost, two disappointing results in the opening two games of this competition. Obviously very, very close, came down to the last ball and the last over in those games. But now two wins on the bounce, and I think two very winnable games coming up this weekend. Worcestershire are a decent side, but you look at that and having just beaten Somerset twice, that you should be this should be one game that I think Glamorgan are going into as favourites. I think possibly the first game so far of this competition that they're going in as favourites when you consider Northants got to the semi-final last year. Gloucestershire won it the year before last, and then Somerset are obviously the reigning champions. I think, Glamorgan with a bit of momentum, especially behind them now. Yes, they're away from home. Do go into this as favourites, perhaps. And then, Lancashire's a different game entirely up at Old Trafford as well. Obviously they've got some really good players, even if the club isn't as aligned as it once was up there, perhaps with some stuff going on in the background. There's still a quality side, but two very winnable games. And I think if Glamorgan can come through and have a 3-win week on this mini road trip, almost like a baseball road trip, it'll be fantastic.
There's a couple of new opposition as well because the new structure this year, Worcestershire and Lancashire would have been in the North Group in previous years. And yeah, completely different prospects, as you say, new road. Not too dissimilar a ground to Taunton, I'd say. It's got a similar feel about it.
Well, one thing we won't have tonight is issues with the floodlights because New Road doesn't have any.
That's true. That's why they're starting at 5 o'clock. So that's worth saying to any fans that aren't sure, or if they turn on their TV at 6:30, they'll realise they've missed half the game. So 5 o'clock up at New Road, no floodlight issues, and then they go to Blackpool, an outground, so that also won't
Oh,
have
yes, I forgot about
floodlights.
that.
Yeah, so also without floodlights. So hopefully Dan Douthwaite won't be getting frustrated this time. If we look at Worcestershire's team, I mean, they had an impressive win over Warwickshire, which they have a few stars themselves. Worcestershire obviously won the T20 Blast a few years ago. Remember Pat Brown and Ben Cox when they were there? That was the year they kind of did everything for them. And I do kind of see them as like a bit of a white ball specialist side. I don't know if that does a bit of a disservice to them in Red Bull cricket, who as they were in Division One last year. But I just really associate them with people who just go a bit under the radar and can just do a bit and cause a couple of upsets because it would be typical Glamorgan. I don't want to jinx them, but they lost to the, if it's not too harsh to say, the two smaller counties in Northants and Gloucestershire, and then they go and do the double over Somerset. I just have visions of this being a total collapse and then Worcestershire knock them off kind of game.
God, we can never be positive, can we? We've always got to have a cynical mind on this. Yeah, it that I haven't really seen in T20 cricket, and I'll be honest, Worcestershire's not a team that I've seen a great deal of. When you look at the team, Brett de Oliveira is a very experienced player. I mean, in years gone by, they had Moeen Ali down there, didn't they, as well. And yeah, so they're a bit of an unknown for me personally. So it'll be interesting to watch them tonight. And I think they shouldn't be an unknown to Glamorgan. I mean, there's a lot of players who play with each other in various competitions and whatever. And across all the formats, they play each other fairly often. So yeah, good win against Warwickshire, I think. Warwickshire have been very disappointing so far, haven't they, in this competition? Probably not what we expected from them. But yeah, I think a good challenge tonight. And hopefully, I mean, if Worcestershire bat second, hopefully Beyers Swanepoel doesn't have another destination to jet off to tonight. Otherwise, they might be down to 10 men again. I had to get that one in there.
Well, if we look at Glamorgan selection, then obviously we've mentioned Crane and Tribe off to Leicester. They had to get their Uber from Taunton last night. The squad is in. Alex Horton's back in the squad. Romano Franco has got a call up as well. And if Franco doesn't play, it means Glamorgan will be spinnerless, other than Ben Kellaway, who bowled a couple of overs yesterday, bowled pretty nicely. But I don't know if you depend on him being the sole spinner for four overs. So, I mean, which way would you go? We haven't seen Gorvin play at all yet.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think they will pick Gorvin, and I think Gorvin comes in for Mason Crane, and you use Ben Kellaway as the spinner, and then potentially does Chris Cook come back in for Asa Tribe, mate, and then take the gloves off Will Smale, and you kind of go back to that team that they've had in the opening three games minus Mason Crane, with Andy Gorvin in there, but. Yeah, it's I it would be lovely to see Franco play. And we've talked a lot about the youngsters coming in and how well they've done and how well Glamorgan are developing youngsters. But I think, with Glamorgan are still a little bit behind the eight ball in this competition, having lost those two opening games. If they were 3-3 and 1 or even 4-0 in this competition, you might go, yeah, we'll give him a go. But I think this is a big game and they need to win, and maybe just that experience of Andy Gorvin and potentially Chris Cook as well just might be the option to go with. But I wouldn't be too disappointed to see Franco get given a go.
It's a little bit bittersweet, isn't it? Because you don't realise until he's not there the glue that Crane holds as the front line spinner. I mean, Kellaway's more than capable as a spinner, but it's one thing to kind of be able to use an over here or there, or maybe sneak four in if he's bowling well. And it's another thing to have to do Crane's role in that side. So, I mean, it's great to see the recognition for the Lions, but it's tough, isn't it?
Well, Kellaway only bowled two overs last night and bowled really well. I think he only went for 12 or something off his two overs, which I didn't see the Somerset innings, so I don't know where he bowled in that innings. But I was sort of a little bit baffled by that and as to why he didn't bowl four, having bowled that well. But as I said, I didn't really see it. So. If he can carry on that form from last night and presumably he'll get his four tonight, that could be a really good option. And obviously we know what he can do with a bat. Didn't quite do it last night, but has got plenty of firepower in his locker. And yeah, but going back to Mason Crane, as you said, I think glue is a great word. He's been excellent with the ball, and we spoke about his improvements with the bat as well. He's really contributed with the bat, not just in the championship, but in the back ends of innings in this competition as well. So he'll be a big miss. And yeah, as you said, bittersweet. Great to see the guys getting international recognition. And some will argue that the point of county cricket and the point of all these tournaments is to produce players for England. But for Glamorgan fans, it is bittersweet. But wish him and Ace are all the best. Hopefully they go well today.
And then finally, then up to Blackpool, as I said, Sunday afternoon. Lancashire, the opposition, again, a new one for them in this new format. The only team they're going to play away that outside of their South and Central, what's it called? Western Central group.
Yeah, I think it's central, isn't it? It's been
Central group. So up to Blackpool, which is certainly not central in the country, that's quite a way. And they're one win from three so far, but they've had a couple of good individual performances. I mean, they scored 208 for four in their win against Notts, and then also struggled though against Surrey, where they conceded over 200. And then Leicestershire, they almost defended 145, got Leicestershire eight down, and they chased it in the last over. So there are some good individuals in that side. I mean, you've got Keaton Jennings, you've got Chris Greens, the overseas, Tom Hartley, Saqib Mahmood, Liam Livingston even played one of the games as well, and a couple of exciting youngsters in Matty Hurst and Joseph Moores as well.
Yeah, really, really dangerous side on their day, aren't they? I mean, Keaton Jennings has been really good in T20 cricket over the last couple of years. And it's always an unknown when you go to an outground as well. I don't know too much about Blackpool, about the ground, and I don't imagine the Glamorgan players will know a great deal about it either. So, especially for a T20 game, you know, you usually get outgrounds in a one day game or even a championship game. So on a T20 game, it's a really interesting prospect at the end at the back end of a two games on the road as well, the third game in a row on the road. It's certainly not going to be easy, and maybe I don't want to say a banana skin game, because I wouldn't say Glamorgan are necessarily favourites in that game with all of those factors, but it certainly looks a more trickier task than maybe Worcestershire does tonight on paper. And that's no disrespect to Worcestershire, but yeah, I think if Glamorgan can, I think that the thing that we've praised a lot about is their sort of calmness and their ability to just keep everything calm, and even when results don't go their way, they're able to bounce back. So even if it doesn't go their way tonight against Worcestershire, I think they've got it in them to come back on Sunday and go again against Lancs. Or even if it does go their way tonight, they've just got an ability to just get on with things. You know, the floodlight issue last night, it could have really, really disrupted them. And it didn't in the end, and they got over the line. And that's been the most impressive part, I think, of that, just their will to win, competitive spirit, and ability to sort of stay calm under pressure and take whatever's thrown at them. So it's a challenging week, but if they can come away with 3 wins, I mean, what a week it'll be.
One thing I didn't mention as well is that Lancashire have got the Roses game tonight and playing Yorkshire. So obviously we won't know until tonight how they fare against them. So whether they go 1-3 or 2-2. And for Glamorgan, who are 2 wins, 2 losses, these next 2 games will take them over. Sorry, take them to halfway in the competition. They would have played 6 games off this week, and then they've got a decent break then. Until the next. So it's one of those where the competition can change so quickly, can't it? You know, they could end up feeling like they've got 2 really good wins, and then come Sunday, they're 2 wins, 4 losses, and then you're staring down the barrel. So, I mean, T20 cricket just changes so quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've seen that already, right? With last week, the comings and goings, Faruqi going, Neesham coming in, McAndrew being injured for those first 2 games and now coming into the side, Tribe coming back and then leaving again, Mason Crane going out of the side now. As you said, it changes so much, and you have to be adaptable, you have to be ready, and players have to be willing to bat in different spots and bowl in different places, and rotation players, squad players have to be ready to come in. It's just the nature of modern cricket, and I think Glamorgan probably at the moment are one of the sides who have one of the most unsettled squads in all of the tournament, just because of some of the England Lions games and Faruqi being recalled by Afghanistan and stuff of that. But as I just said, they've got to roll with it. They've got to take it in their stride, and they've got to just put their best foot forward. And you know, when you've got Kieran Carlson and Ben Kellaway and Dixon, the way he's playing, McAndrew, the way he's playing, you've got a chance in every game. So, yeah, hopefully they can just take all of that in their stride this weekend.
Well, Alid, thank you for joining me. There's so much more we could talk about, but simply not enough time because I need to get this edited and then get it out before the Worcestershire game. So there's plenty more we could talk about, but there's plenty to enjoy over the next coming days. Worcestershire away, then Lancashire away on Sunday. Women's game this afternoon as well. So make sure you keep an eye on that. And of course, as always, keep an eye on Taff and Daff because there's plenty of pieces to be reading on there. The report from last night is on there, as well as an opinion from earlier in the week from me about Kieran Carlson and getting higher recognition for the 100 in international. And as always, Alid always brings us our previews as well. So make sure you keep an eye on those. And also, there's a feature I almost forgot about Nathan McAndrew and playing through injury as well. So plenty to enjoy on Taff and Daff. Plenty more to enjoy on the pitch from Glamorgan. But for now, thank you for listening to One Team in Wales. We'll be back next week and we'll see how Glamorgan gets on then. Goodbye.